welcome you to our July 4th forum on exploring the idea of patriotism. I'm Barry Shelley, and I'll be moderating the forum. If you haven't been to a forum in Holden, let me just say briefly something about the way we try to focus and proceed. Today we've got three people who are going to just reflect, give their own reflections on that word, and I'll say a little bit more in a second about how some of the questions we might want to look at, and probably take maybe 5 minutes or so apiece, and then we'll open it up. As forums are primarily a time at Holden for everyone in the community to be able to participate in dialogue and to learn from each other. And you'll be able to either ask people who have on the panel who have already spoken, as well as make your own comments or throw out own questions or whatever you would like to do with that. Let me just say, to sort of frame the issue, patriotism, as we probably are all aware, is one of those words that sparks a variety of reactions, and usually very strong reactions. For some, it's a word that brings us to a sort of a feeling of patriotic fervor, we might call it, of a real sense of loyalty. There can be those experiences that we have that we might even, psychologists might even term as peak experiences, that really very much relate to patriotism. I'm sure a lot of us can think of times in our lives where, in particular events, we have felt that as patriotic way. At the same time, others really approach the word with some cynicism and sometimes even anger over things that our nation is involved in and what our government is doing. And I think it's fair to say that a lot of us feel both of those things at different times. I think that, for example, some of us may have felt one way this morning when the Declaration of Independence was read and the flag was raised, and another way you may have heard, if you have heard, some of you may not realize that the big news right now is that a Iranian passenger plane was shot down by U.S. ships in the Persian Gulf. By mistake, they thought it was a war plane coming on the same flight pattern, but tried to give a warning and got no response, and when they got no response, shot it down with 292 people aboard. Something I think was probably more going to be said later tonight. But those are very different. If the word comes up in that conversation, it's going to be a very different reaction, perhaps, for some of us. So tonight we really want to talk about what that word means for us and in all the different kinds of ways that it can affect us. This morning, we heard the Declaration of Independence, and at the same time, we know, and that's a document that I think just about all of us can really give great commitment to, and its vision. In this day and age, it's a very different world, and I guess the question for us in many ways is, how can we or can we be patriots, and whatever that means to us, and still be world citizens. For those of us for whom the word is very much a live word and a powerful word, what does it call us to do? Whom does it call us to be? For those of us who struggle with the word in a different way and perhaps see it as almost dead, the question might be, can it be recovered? Or do we want to recover it? So, again, what is the meaning of the word patriotism in 1988 in a world that's very interdependent in a way that the world has never been before? So we have three people. I'm just going to introduce them very briefly, and I'll just let them go in order, starting with Dar Krenick, who is on our staff at head of Narnia for the summer and is from Texas. And Mel Peel, who is at Valparaiso University in Indiana, and Jackie Brolsma also on our staff, who's been here for over a year and will continue to be here, but came here from Seattle. So I'll just let them start.
Okay. I'd like to just begin by just sharing some of my thoughts and feelings when Barry asked me this morning if I'd be willing to do this. I felt in a lot of ways unqualified to do this because I think I'm very much an American citizen and faithful to my country, but I don't consider myself a real political type person and real involved in politics and in the government. And that's something that I've been reflecting over the last couple of years and realizing the importance and the need for more involvement in that area. But I thought maybe I would just share some thoughts and reflections that I've had, and also in relation to a couple of years ago, I got to go on a trip to East Germany and just share with you some of the reactions of the people that I talked to while I was there, what they thought about America, and how that made me start thinking about America and who I am living here as an American citizen. This morning, since breakfast wasn't until 10 o'clock, I thought, well, this will be a good opportunity to sleep in. I don't have to get up and have breakfast by 7 o'clock, so I didn't get up for the flag raising. And I did hear the trumpets go off and the horns blown at 8:15, and so I was just kind of laying there and just thought I'd take my time getting up, and I could hear everyone singing occasionally and so forth, and I was raising the flag, and then I started feeling guilty because I wasn't out there for the flag raising. And maybe some of you can maybe identify with that a little bit. I almost felt unpatriotic for not being there for the flag raising. And so that's how the day began. And and then as we heard the nice speeches this morning, and Ing started reading the inscription on the Statue of Liberty, and it made me start thinking, you know, it says, bring me your homeless, bring me your poor. And I kept thinking about all the homeless and the poor that we already have. And then, of course, when they came and carted her off, and then Jody continued with his orientation of that. It was funny, and I laughed along with everyone else, but I sat there and I thought, I wonder if there's people here who are from another country, just what their reaction is right now of us, you know, making fun of this. You know, maybe they can laugh at us and realize we are just joking and having a good time, but at the same time it's going, wow, you know, are we kind of saying this is what we really are all about, or are we saying, you know, give us your homeless, give us your food? So that made me start thinking a little bit more this morning too. 4th of July, you know, it comes every year, and I celebrate it in one way or the other. But is it more than just wearing red, white, and blue? And why do we wear red, white, and blue? Why do I get involved in that celebration of what people long ago was felt really strongly about? And I guess I consider myself, like I said, I went to Germany a couple of years ago with a group from Luther Northwestern Seminary, and we went to look at the church in East Germany, besides seeing all the places that Martin Luther was. But we met with a lot of people in the church, and we met with a lot of people in their government, and met so many people. And every time you'd say, you know, I'm from the United States, I'm from Texas, almost their first response was, ah, Dallas! And I think that's the image that a lot of the European people have of Texas anyway, that everybody's like, Dallas. You know, the people, the characters that live and act in Dallas, that's the way we live and act. So I tried to explain to them, no, that we're not all that way. And it was really interesting. Part of our trip, one of the guys that was in the group started talking to some of the school children that we happened to run across, and he knew German, so he was able to communicate with them. And he asked them what they thought of Americans. And they said, oh, you know, they said, we know that you hate us. And he said, no, we don't hate you. We really care about you. And they went, oh, no. He said, we'll show you. And they opened up one of their school books, and in their school books was a poem that alluded to the fact that how they they cared for all people and wanted peace, but the Americans didn't want that, and something about how we were prejudiced against black people, and so there was a lot of negative overtures in that poem. And I know a lot of that might be propaganda, but a lot of people felt that way, you know, or would bring up the fact that, oh, America, you have a lot of unemployment, you know, and so it made me start thinking, because here I'd grown up all my whole life as an American and kind of taken for granted my citizenship and the freedom that I have, my government, the way I live, until I went to another country and got to see how they lived, under what kind of oppression they lived, and yet also get their impression of the United States. So when I came back, it was kind of a cultural shock coming back into the United States with the fast pace of life and the billboards and the advertisement, and it was just so different from what I'd experienced in Germany at that time. And so it really made me see, if anything, kind of open my eyes a little more to America and this country that I live. And that I can have a part in what's going on here, instead of just kind of rolling along from day to day, that by my involvement in voting and getting politically involved in issues that I think that are important, instead of just sitting around and complaining about it, that I can do something about it, that I can make a stand. So I don't know if that stirs up anything in anybody or any thoughts. Or anything anybody wants to share from that.
We'll come back to that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, I think I'll reflect a little bit, maybe some of the things that Dar said, but slightly different tack, and reflect a little bit specifically on what I see as some of the characteristics of American patriotism or nationalism, and then perhaps relate that to some larger questions about different kinds of loyalties that we have or might have or should have. The English Catholic writer G.K. Chesterton once came over here for a visit, and he said, America is the nation with the soul of a church. And what he meant by that was, I think, that the United States, unlike many European nations where nationality grew up with a particular kind of people and you simply were of that ethnic background, here nationality, nationalism, our very national identity, grew up in a sense as a moral, intellectual, spiritual project. That is, it was an idea almost as much as it was an experience of a particular people. And you find this all the time. President Reagan always is quoting John Winthrop from 1630, we are to be the shining city on a hill. Well, John Winthrop was a Puritan leader, so there you have a direct application of a kind of religious model to American life. And of course, the Declaration of Independence, which we heard this morning, is just full of that kind of thing, where what's essential about America is that it represents universal ideals of liberty, equality, democracy, and so on. So it seems to me that that quality of American nationhood and then of American patriotism is both our great strength and our great weakness. That is, it in a sense preserves us from a certain kind of tribalism, where it's only a certain kind of people that can share this. At least potentially, this is a very rich idea, and we belong to a notion, to a nation that celebrates certain principles that we can always uphold apart from any particular kind of practice, and can always use both to celebrate but then to criticize when the nation falls short in that respect. So to that extent, that's a great strength, it seems to me, of our kind of patriotism and our kind of nationality. The danger, on the other hand, when you have a kind of intellectualized and spiritualized nationality, is that it becomes very self-absorbing. And you come to think that only those people who share that are really valuable and really worthwhile. And then your relations with other people who are not part of that country, that nationhood, that ideal, come to seem either very strange or very different, or somehow we should take our ideals to them, or at least they should be bright enough to absorb our ideals one way or another. And so we have very complex relations with, as I think Dar was describing, people who are non-Americans. And we sort of alternate between two attitudes, it seemed to me. One is the kind of isolationism, well, we really wish we were the only people on Earth and everybody else would just disappear, forget them, you know, or else they should move here and become American or something. But I mean, we really, I think in Mark Twain somewhere, he has one of his characters say, you know, he just really doesn't believe that there's any place where people speak French. And that idea is somehow deeply ingrained in American in life in one respect. The other side is the sort of missionary notion. We're going to go out and take it to these people and bring our ideals everywhere. And this can there are sort of high, middle, and low forms of this, all kinds of levels at which that could be carried out. But it usually leads toward a very myopic view of how other peoples see their own experience, their own history, their own culture, which could be very different from ours. I always remember one of my students who was writing an essay about foreign countries and Americans' democracy, and he said, democracy is what these people want, and democracy is what they're going to get. there was the expression that they were going to get good old democracy, whether they wanted it or not.
What grade did you give?
I think that probably was an incomplete. But anyhow, that some of my thoughts on that. One more thing I might mention. It seems to me that what this ought to lead us to, ultimately, is some reflections on different kinds of loyalties and different kinds and levels of loyalties. We all have multiple loyalties in our lives to all kinds of things, and some of those grow up naturally and unconsciously. Some are cultivated in various kinds of ways, and so on. Our loyalty to nation is one of the most visible and one of the most dramatic because it's linked to the idea of the nation state and the government, and so on. But we ought to think about the fact that we can be involved in many loyalties simultaneously. And it's not always true that these loyalties have to contradict one another. There may often be tensions between them. But no one thinks, for example, that there's inherent contradiction between being a citizen of your hometown, between being a citizen of your state, and being a citizen of the United States. You find those most of the time, anyhow, in alignment. Maybe there are some tensions there in terms of interests. What about the other loyalties we might have? We might have loyalties to the human race as a race on this planet. And that loyalty might be extremely important. And certainly I would think that Christian people might say they have a fundamental kind of loyalty to the Christian people, to the Christian church, which is certainly a loyalty that transcends national boundaries. And how do we line up those different boundaries and loyalties? How different it would be if we would always think, well, our primary loyalty is, say, to our humanity. Then we have perhaps a very special kind of loyalty to those who share our spiritual bonds of faith. And then there's a loyalty that we share to our patria, our country, our fatherland. See those always in relation so that when a given act occurs or a given circumstance occurs, we would want to think about how all those loyalties line up or exist in tension.
Thank you. Jackie?
I don't think the word presented too much of a struggle until a few years ago, actually. I was raised with a red, white, and blue God, a popular phrase that kind of came up, developed here at Holden this last year, where patriotism was very connected to Christianity. And I think that, as you said, now kind of presents a real conflict for a lot of us now, in those two things kind of blending together somehow. And I was raised pretty conservatively, actually. I even had an uncle who belonged to the John Birch Society, and didn't question a lot of that, and really only until probably about 1980 when I was at a peace conference at PLU in Tacoma, not to sort of perpetuate John Yoder's guru status, but he was pretty instrumental in sort of my own conversion. I think I'd been pretty unconscious to some of those issues prior to then, and it was at that time that there was a fair amount of political presentations as well as some other well-known speakers, and John walked up there with a Bible in his hand. He was the only speaker who had one at the time. And it was a pretty powerful experience. It was also a time that Archbishop Hunthausen from Seattle talked, and about the time that he made the decision to do tax resistance, based on the fact that he really believed that right now, you know, we needed to pay higher loyalties or patriotism to something, you know, higher than the U.S. government. And he was also instrumental in my own sort of beginning to rethink the whole question of the militarism in our world today, and began to compare the situation of the use of the Trident nuclear submarine to almost the Auschwitz of Germany. And that's a really powerful image to use in this country. And for me, it just really began a whole journey of questioning what it means to be perhaps patriotic to the gospel in a country where you go home and listen to the radio like I just did and hear the events of Iran, and wondering, you know, what that all means, and something, what am I being, you know, patriotic to? What does that represent? And I was inspired last year by the information about the Christic Institute and their investigation and attempt to bring into our federal court system the secret government that's really been operating, and hopeful in some way that it could, that democracy, if it was as we believed it and talked about and heard in the Declaration of Independence this morning, could really withstand that process, that it wasn't something we needed to fear, but rather we would be able to sort of demonstrate that those principles could survive such a test. I guess, you know, for me, in participating, I guess, in some of the resistance movement to the military, the nuclear military buildup, has been a real question of maybe upholding international law, which has really kind of been the attempt of people doing civil disobedience, and to present that case, even though it's yet to be heard in a federal court, that we really, like the people in Nazi Germany who were tried for basically saying that they, you know, were following orders above them and really did, were expected to follow a higher order of law. I believe that in many ways that's what's operating today. And, you know, in all of that struggle, I'm sure I come out with the rest of you in a real question of what that means to be an American citizen. In talking with some people earlier today about how sometimes those loyalties really create a great deal of confusion, identity confusion, I guess, about being a world citizen versus an American. And I guess I never, up until some of those conversion experiences, really began to feel that the way I was living was oppressive to a whole nother part of the body of Christ. And so I guess I really appreciate continued reflection on some of those struggles for people.
Hey, thanks. Okay, we'll open it up and invite everything from reactions to additions and comments and questions that you may have either to either of these three people or anything else that you would like to say. Let me just ask that you please raise your hand. There are a number of people here, and some people have louder voices to speak out than others do, so to try to get as much chance to everyone as possible. If you'd raise your hand, I'll call on you. And also just that if everyone can try to help help us all to try to share the speaking as much as we can, that would be good. So, anyone have anything they want to say?
I just have a question to anybody. Do you suppose it's possible to survive as a nation state without being nationalistic? I'm just asking the question.
Any of you want to start, and then we'll see if anybody else wants to respond to that.
I'd like to propose some kind of an answer to that. And I can see myself as not a just American, but like Jackie brought up, a world citizen. Like it's a small world. And that one Trident nuclear submarine could destroy the Soviet Union and at the same time destroy us by bringing on a nuclear winter. And that we're economically, militarily, we're, in many ways, it's like a small village America. And it's like it's really fragile. And I think it's kind of outmoded for me to be a flag waver, to be intensely patriotic about America. I don't feel that way.
I think Marty was going to say something. I'll come back to you.
I wonder if the example in the colonies isn't a useful one at this point in our national history, where colonialism finally had to give way to the federal government because there were interests which went beyond each individual colony or state, which finally took such precedence that those colonies or states had to give limited power to a federal government to accomplish purposes they had to accomplish. And I wondered if our world isn't beginning to see that, in some sense, the nation states of the world are acting like colonies who are just discovering at this late time in the game that there are interests of worldwide scope which may suggest we need to at least share our nationalism on a more global scale so that the interdependence, which is surely a reality, becomes also a political tool for our mutual survival.
One other person back here.
I see nothing wrong in being patriotic or being proud of being American. To say that I disagree with the current thrust of our nationalism, I think, would be an understatement. But I think one of the things that we should do, because we are patriotic and are proud of being American, is try and change that present philosophy. But to be proud of a nation does not necessarily mean that you have to agree with what is currently in vogue.
Even a question here of what is nationalism and patriotism the same thing? And maybe that's part of it. Yes, back here.
Yeah, I'd like to second that gentleman's comments. I think certainly as Christians we're called to be of the world or in the world, but not of it. And that's very compatible with being an American. We can support actively those things our country carries out which are scriptural, and at the same time oppose those things which are not. And I don't see any problem with that. In fact, I think that's our responsibility.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it changed drastically when the thrust changed from being concerned about being the best and being number one to saving our planet. It seems like everything changed in that. At that time, for me and for me.
As far as something more about what
those
changes were.
As far as patriotism and loyalty to our country, the loyalty, as someone mentioned here, became much more a global loyalty to humanity. And my concern now certainly is not to worry about being number one or America the best or competing with the Japanese economically and all that, but to save our planet. And all that entails.
Steve?
I think that patriotism does include a kind of a loyalty and love of the people that you are identified with and have some control over in terms of policies. And I think sometimes we speak out of both sides of our mouth. We celebrate and affirm deeply the nationalism that caused the revolution in Nicaragua. And that's a powerful component in that revolution. And at the same time, it gets uncomfortable with our own nationalism. I think what I like about patriotism is a sense of loyalty and love for those people with which you're identified. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I think we can disagree about policies and direction, and maybe we can have inter-family wars of disagreement about which direction things take. But I don't know if you can run. That's an interesting question Steve raised. I'm not so sure that one can run a nation state without some loyalty. Does not necessarily preclude an international loyalty too, but that it has a sense in which you say, without taking it too seriously, I love this political entity and people with which I'm identified. I personally have no problem with that.
Could we maybe explore for a second the whole idea of those conflicts? And one of the things that Mel talked about a lot was the fact that different loyalties sometimes have tensions and sometimes maybe they're not. The question is, it seems that some of the last comments are, should we automatically assume that loyalty to the United States is in conflict with loyalty to the world? And where are those in conflict and where are they not in conflict? And how do we proceed again on that? Those kinds of questions of concern.
It's almost like patriotism is idealism. Who was it that said my country, right or wrong, my country? It's mm-hmm. true, it is your country, but we're not always proud of it.
Mm-hmm. I think St. Paul's a good example along those lines. He was a patriotic Roman citizen, in a sense, although he was beaten in the hands of Roman authorities. He certainly didn't stand for all that Rome did, but he worked within their system, yet when challenged on certain basic issues, such as his ability to preach the gospel, then he disobeyed. At that point, he made it very clear that there was a higher authority.
But the question is about that. We know so little about St. Paul. Wasn't he sinning when he didn't speak out against what was happening in Rome? And he didn't care about them? The murders that were going on under the Roman government at the time?
I think he did care.
Sure, he didn't show very much in what he wrote that we got.
I think that he felt there were more important things to do.
Than the lives of people in Rome. That makes me have a lot more questions about St. Paul.
Well, I mean, it gets down to what your view of Scripture.
Exactly. I guess that's where we disagree. And that's what forums are about. Just to let you know, there are people in the room, and I'm one of them, that wouldn't agree with your statement.
Mm-hmm. I see patriotism is really agreeing with and identifying with the powers that be and the things that your country does and is about. And I've had a real hard time being patriotic for the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. It's really almost embarrassing to
you speak up a little
to
bit.
When I meet some of the people that tell them that I'm an American. About 3 years ago, I went to a church and government seminar sponsored by Lutheran Council in the USA, LAPUSA, and one of my roommates was from Denmark and one was from Jamaica, and they were really wanting to know why people my age weren't doing more, and you know, why we were allowing all these things to happen. And I found that they knew a lot more about the American government than I did, and certainly than most people. Now, I've always felt kind of bad that I don't feel patriotic because, you know, there are certainly a lot of people in this country that I dearly love. But I just really don't feel good about most of what our government does. And I guess I'd tie patriotism to agreeing with our government and how I'm represented by them.
Can I then ask you or others the same question then? Is there a way, though, that you... Is patriotism then a dead word, or is there something in this country or in the history of this country that you can be patriotic to? Is there some way to recover that for you, or is it for you something that you want to dismiss?
I don't. I guess I was like Jackie. I had a lot of hope with the Christic Institute, too. And I was, you know, really kind of wondering if that would show that. Well, I don't know. I think the way that our country was started, I think they had a lot of good ideas. I don't know if we're too far gone or not.
I think you're. Say you agreed with 70% of, say you disagree with 70% of our policies, it would be hard for me to say I'm patriotic then. And what in answer to your question, I would throw out, if you could bring about change, to bring that, say, to 50-50, that would give me a lot of hope. And I might become patriotic just knowing that it's possible, you know, through the system to bring about some change, even though it didn't come completely into what I'd like it to be. I'd still see the hope.
Sometimes I think there are three ways to be a Christian in relation to the country. One way is to be a Christian conservative who supports all the conservative stuff going on and is happy when he and they are in control. Or you could be a liberal Christian who support all the liberal stuff and are really only going to be happy when the liberals are in control again. And in both cases, the issue is control. And it seems to me the third way is something that I remember hearing Erlander or somebody talk about, which is a cruciform existence. If Japan is going to whip us, and if we're going to be whippable to the extent that we maintain our convictions of servanthood, then we're just going to be whippable. And we'll have to participate in the extinction of America, if that's the case. And maybe it's a part of being Christian to not be nationalistic, not be patriotic in that sense.
Some would argue that it's more of a Christian norm not to be in our history.
And I'm a redneck.
Well, I was going to pick up on what he said. Again, I think we need to think through a lot of things about this relationship between patriotism and nationalism, if you will, the relationship between our love and loyalty to communities, people, history, tradition, and so on, and the nation state, and the particular policies and forms. I certainly don't see any reason why I can disagree with 90% of the policies at a given time of the United States government and be a thorough patriot, love my country and its people and so on. I don't see why this has to turn into nose counting. I think the people before the Civil War, tiny minority, 2% advocating abolition, were in many ways upholding ideals of their fathers more fundamentally than the whole policy of the state. And I don't see any why we have to qualify our patriotism by virtue of a particular policy of the national state at a given moment. Of course, again, I would say one of the privileges in this state is we are authorized, indeed, if we're good citizens, obliged to go around and make noises and try to persuade all those folks who are implementing those policies we don't like why and how those policies should be altered. So I don't agree with the nose-counting idea. I can't stand half of what the American government does. It does some good things. It does some appalling things. But that shouldn't affect my sense of patriotism.
It sounds like it's almost like the more you disagree with, maybe calls you even to a stronger patriotism.
Sure, of course. Okay.
What are you patriotic to?
Well, you're certainly patriotic in the sense I use the original word patria, your people. Originally, it means your loyalty to your people, first of all. In our form of patriotism that we have here, it also means a kind of ideal, particular ideal of what the nation ought to stand for. So you are in this country, we are fortunate, I think, to have a set of ideals to which I can, for the most part, subscribe. So I'm certainly loyal to those ideals, as I understand them, and as I think our best thinkers and political philosophers have understood them. So according to those ideals, we can certainly, you know, get out and wave the flag. Wave it right in Ronald Reagan's nose. Raise, you know, wave it. The CIA is un-American. It seems to me that's a far more powerful way of understanding our loyalty to our people than suddenly feeling embarrassed about who we are.
You're too old-fashioned.
I saw a couple of hands, but I saw Jackie shaking her head over here. I'm just gonna say.
You redeemed yourself. But I guess, I maybe have more faith in some of the process. I guess when, you know, just looking this last year and realizing that the majority of the American people are against continued aid to the Contras, and yet it continues, really calls to question patriotism to, you know, our form of democracy, and whether this, you know, really is. And maybe, again, the question is, we're throwing around a lot of words and not defining, but, you know, what are we patriotic to then? You know, and people who choose to be prophetic in calling us back to a patriotism that we once understood to be the founding ideas of this country, perhaps, as you said, are more patriotic in that process.
I mean, like Ronald Reagan comparing the Congress to the founding fathers?
Yeah. No.
Okay, we got several hands that are popping up now. So you had yours up first, and then a couple other people.
Maybe we should put some patriotism into action. The Contras wouldn't have funding if the quote-unquote patriots would be out marching. We are not in Vietnam anymore because the patriots marched. Jesse Jackson, I would consider him, and this is my political bent, so, but I would consider him much more of a patriot than would Ed Meese. But I'm not sure that other people
Ed
that
Meese is a Lutheran.
That would go the other side.
Sorry, I'm patriots. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
But no, I think possibly we should just act, and then our patriotism, whichever way it might be leaning, the majority would come into rule.
There's somebody in here. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe I'm starting to feel some concord here, but when I think about patriotism, I don't feel conflict with it. Maybe the reason I don't is because what I believe that this country is founded on is that what we're saying is that we have a right to say what we believe, and maybe we agree that we disagree, but we always have the right to say it. And so I would agree that action, personal action, is a real reflection of both believing in that process, the right to stand up for that. And just as Christianity is not a passive process, nor is being a citizen. And I look at personal responsibility. When I start feeling critical about the government, I think about what have I done to show my opposition, because I really believe that the people's movement does have power, that enough people pull together, we can't stop it. And maybe what we've been is happily passive about the direction of our government. And maybe what we're seeing is a swing towards saying, our representatives, those people, are not quite representing what we believe. And so it's time to call them accountable or to recall them and replace them. But I don't feel like that's not a patriotic thing for me to think that some decisions are being made that I don't agree with, and that I'm going to say that I disagree and I'll take action. I think that is the very essence of patriotism.
Okay, yes. Yes, you.
The other time I was in Holden, and also this time, I had just spent some time in Washington, D.C., and I was in Washington working in the office of the congressman from South Dakota in February and March. That doesn't apply to what I'm going to say now, but when people say that they are not patriotic and they don't stand up for what a government is doing, at what percentage are you willing to move to a different country? Because we have people from Korea, Vietnam, Mexico, badly, to be patriotic, the Philippines and this country. I think, as the person said over here, you can't just talk about it. It's fine to talk about it here, but you have to do something. We just voted at home before I came here, and there was no point in voting. No one was opposing anybody. There wasn't a choice. And once, when I was in Washington, they said, our government is the least efficient there is, but you do have a chance. You have a possibility of saying what you want. And I think if you aren't able to run for Congress in your state or in the federal government, you may have to start on the police force or in the councilman or mayor or something, but you have to start working someplace.
Peter and now Vicki. Peter?
I like the idea of recovering the idea that patriotism talks of people. And sometimes we speak of it in the abstract, but it seems to me that part of patriotism is passionately caring what happens to Margaret and Dick and Raphael's children, and what we can hope for our grandchildren, not only in terms of economic and politically, but their spiritual, their moral integrity, and that we have a stake in some way affecting that general direction. And I would think that to be patriotic would be to passionately love the people with which you're identified with and their future, and to care deeply about it and to do the best you can to try to make it a good environment for them, not exclusively the world community. I feel bad and angered when the word patriotism seems to get co-opted and identified somehow with people that want to nuke the world. For heaven's sakes, talk about co-opting a great word.
Okay. You had to come here.
I don't know how to say this the way I'm feeling about it, but let me just try it out anyway. I think that when we talk about being patriotic and maybe being disgusted with some of the things that are happening, are we saying that we want to change the system totally? Give up democracy, give up the Declaration of Independence? I get the feeling that that's the alternative that a lot of people are craving, and that disturbs me greatly. I thank God for what we've got. That's being patriotic, I think, in a proper sense. We don't throw it all out. Everybody agrees that a dictatorship is much more efficient. Is that what we want?
Let me just see if there's any... Yeah, okay, sure. You should go ahead and we'll see if there's any... I'm sorry. I didn't know you were holding your hand or whatever.
I guess I am. Well, I don't think we should, I don't guess we should throw democracy out, but it doesn't really seem that it's working right now. Last year here at Holden, I heard a lot about a secret government that's been running a lot of the world for a number of years. The majority of the people don't want us to send money to the Contras, and yet we still do send money to the Contras. Doesn't really seem like democracy is working. I wish that we could go back to that. I don't know if we're able to do that, though. I don't know what the alternative is. I certainly don't want a dictatorship. I'm certainly thankful for the things that I have. I like clean water to drink. I wish the rest of the world had clean water to drink. I don't know, it seems like democracy does not exist in the United States today. I wish that it did.
Okay.
I feel that one of the most unpatriotic things we have going now is the military buildup, the missiles, the total destruction, insane thrust of weapons, 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 and it's so basic to life that that's what I think patriotism has to be to humanity. And it costs a real commitment to that. And either people don't want to look at it, and or if they look at it, the personal cost is real scary. And when I talk to different individuals in a growing number, they all seem to agree now that we are way out of line with military buildup. But it seemed that they don't want to reject it publicly. And to my notion that if that growing number that is really growing would reject it in some way, shape, or form and scream out about it, that that would be the best form of patriotism we could get going right now to turn that around. Some people think that it's too late now, and they're kind of saying, well, it's out of control now. I don't want to believe that when I hear the beliefs that people have, the fact that it could change it. But the commitment is real scary, and it's people, it's already ended up with death for them and prisons, so it's not a real present ending.
It just occurred to me that I can't say it isn't democracy. 50% of us are against giving aid to Central America or Nicaragua. But 50, that doesn't make us not make us a democracy. We just got to organize and get 90% of us against it. That's what our job is.
Seems like our forefathers did have the foresight to build in a check and balance system into our government. We have an executive branch and a legislative. We have the House and the Senate with almost synonymous committees. I should think if this system is going to work, one must get involved in the various issues. And thus patriotism may in part be defined almost synonymously with involvement. Whether or not you believe in one or the other, at least get involved. To a certain extent, it may be, to be unpatriotic would be not to get involved in the issues. And I think one thing that concerns me today is that, especially among college students, it seems they are less willing to get involved today than they were a few years ago. That there seems to be more of a commitment towards a self-motivated, at least in terms of their own benefit, as suggested by, at least at our university and college, the largest department is in the business economics, shifted abruptly from biology and the sciences. So I worry whether or not the commitment to get involved is there today as it was in the past.
Sure, you probably have a right to respond to that.
Our tone is active college students.
I want to speak on behalf of all college students. I guess I certainly have seen a lot of what you're talking about, but I do think that the pendulum is starting to swing again. I guess just in terms of what I've seen on campuses and something that's really encouraged me is that the number of Amnesty International campus groups has just really grown dramatically in the last 2 years. Like, I think it's 5 times larger than what it used to be. And I think that's a good sign. And I do think it's starting to swing. Hopefully, not too long, but so.
I think, Larry, did you have, I'm sorry. Yes.
I wonder whether it wouldn't be appropriate once in a while for us patriotic Americans to be positive, to count the blessings. I hear so much about we've got to protest, we've got to object, we've got to fight, you know, negative, negative, negative out there. This is the 4th of July. Hey, let's count our blessings. Thank God for what we sing this morning. Now thank we all our God. I thought it was very appropriate. I've been in 30 other countries. I've never seen one I like it, even at least a little bit better. You go to East Germany, for instance, and the atmosphere is terrible. Would anybody want to trade with, you know, what we've got with that? You go to China, the light shining over there perhaps now, but I'm just repeating. Count our blessings, folks. Thank God for them today. Pray for the 4th of July.